Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas daf Nun Zayin. We are holding on daf Nun Vavan Beis. We are at the very end of the page. Achtei Derami Bar Chama, the last line of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his having children, and also Lizecher Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, La Shalom, Nisham Shavan Aliyah. We thank him very, very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Shiurim. So the first thing we're going to talk about today is Machlokas, about at what point it's too late to make a Tanai to lessen the amount of the Ksuba. Meaning, if you hold that you can do that, that you can be Pochus B'Sula Mimasayim Al-Mana Mimana, if you hold that Kol Pochus B'Sula Mimasayim Al-Mana Mimana, Hareze B'Ilaznu. So the Gemara is going to bring that's the sheet of Rameir. The Gemara is first going to bring a Maaser relating to the sheet of Rameir, and then the Gemara is going to discuss a Machlokes, or actually a double Machlokes, about at what point one can potentially still make a Tanai to be Poches, and that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion when we have two options of how to understand the Machlokes, whether a Machlokes is a Machlokes in Svara, or a Machlokes is a Machlokes in what an earlier generation said. So we much prefer that the Machlokas be in Svara than the Machlokas be in the Metzius of what an earlier generation said. So that's going to be a klal that the Gemara says. This most often is known as the klal that we'd rather not say that something is a Machlokas in Metzius, because what an earlier generation said is a Machlokas in Metzius, which means that one side is right, one side is wrong. We'd much rather say that they're arguing about something relating to Svara, where both sides could be right. We could apply Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss a husband supporting his wife, and if he's a Kohen, her eating truma when he gives man li nase, that there is a certain point in time after the erusin, depending whether she's a basula or an almana, but when that point of time exactly is, but at a certain point in time, it's expected that it's time to get married, that it's time to do nisuin, and if the husband's not willing to get married at that time, he has to start supporting her, and we're going to discuss her rights to eat truma from that time. The Gemara is going to give the source for the idea that by a basula it's 12 months time before she eats truma before he gives mali nase. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, and how much time do we give by a katana, and what about a bogeras? Is there more time for a katana? Is there less time for a bogeras? And then the Gemara is going to discuss the very halacha that an arusa does not eat truma typically, that normally an arusa does not yet eat truma. So why is that an arusa doesn't eat truma? The Gemara is going to have two possibilities with potential nafkaminas as to why it is that while she's still be'erusin, she doesn't eat truma. So let's begin. Nun vavam beis, last line on the page. Achtei derami bar chama. So says the Gemara, achtei derami bar chama v'nesiva l'Rav Avia. Rami bar chama's sister was married to Rav Avia, and irkus ksubasa, and that happens sometimes, she lost her ksuba. So also l'kamei derav Yosef, they came to Rav Yosef to ask, are they still allowed to live together without a ksuba? So amar lahu Rav Yosef said, hachi amar v'dam Shmuel, zu dever Rabbi Meir. Rav Meir is the one that said that even if they made it tonight to be poches li'isha miksubasa, the tonight is batel, and even though the tonight is batel, the bia is considered a bias nus. I mean, Rav Meir said, oh, the worst of both worlds. Not only is your tonight not valid and you still owe her the full 200 zuz, but since she doesn't have smichas hadas, that everything is okay, because you seem to be making these tanaim that she's going to get less, it's ki'ilu your ba'ol bilas nus. Because Rav Meir holds kol apachas b'sul masayim, even though tano batel, and she's going to be able to collect, lack of smichas das makes it a bias nus. So over here also, according to Rabbi Meir, even though it's a tanai based in that a woman collects her ksuba, so the fact that she doesn't have a ksuba, ultimately in the end of the day, is not going to affect her, because she'll still be able to collect the ksuba, but it's a lack of smichas das, because she thinks that the husband will always be able to taina that he already paid up, and therefore, because she doesn't have a smichas das, that's bias nus. Yes, that is shitas Rabbi Meir. Aval chachamim omrim mashad mesishto shayim shal shanim below ksuba. But the chachamim disagree, and the chachamim say that you're allowed to stay together for 2 or 3 years even without a ksuba, and we don't have to be choshish for bilas nus because of a lack of smichas das, and therefore don't worry about it. We pass like the chachamim against Rav Meir, so you can stay together. In fact, in the sefer Binyan Yecheskel, he explains that that's why the Gemara. Why is it that the Gemara tells us the yichus of Rami Bar Chama that his sister was married married to Rav Avia. L'chora, that's totally unnecessary to the story. A guy, a girl that were married, they lost the ksuba, right? Why does it make a difference whose sister it was? So it doesn't even mention anything about Rav Bar Chama in the story, but it's teaching us that even though she was the sister of Rav Bar Chama, so Mustama, she was well versed in halacha, and she probably knew that she could be gova with the Tanai Beis Din, Aval Pikein, even though she probably realized that she could be gova with the Tanai Beis Din, it's a low plug. That since there are women that are not so mechdaita, Lefi Shitas Rabbi Meir, it's going to be a problem. Lefi Shitas Rabbi Meir, it's going to be considered that one is Boel Bi'ilaso Bi'ilasnus. So this is the concept that Rabbi Meir has, that it's usher to stay together without a ksuba, but the Gemara is telling us that the Chachamim disagree and hold that they are allowed to stay together. So Amalei Abaye, Abaye says Rav Yosef, and the Gemara was saying that Rav Yosef paskind like the Chachamim, no problem staying together without a ksuba. So Abaye says Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel, Halacha Karebi Meir, B'gzeirosav, but we have a klal that we paskin like Rav Meir in those things that he made gzeiros on. And Rav Meir made a gzeira to be machmir, that anyone was poches from a ksuba seisha, then the bias nos, b'gishtaz nef smich sadas. So we should paskin like Rav Meir. It's a gzeira. So but when she loses her ksuba, lack of smichas das, it should be usher for them to stay together. We should pass on like Rav Meir. So Rav Yosef therefore changed his mind, and he said to Rav Avia, "Ihachi zil ksovla." You know what? If that's true that the klal is halach Rav Meir b'gzeirosav, then go write your wife in a ksuba because you cannot stay together without a ksuba. There is a machlokas rishonim with legabe what we pass on like Rav Meir. Rove rishonim say that we pass on like Rav Meir that bilas bilas nus, but not in the fact that tana ubatel. Because that's because the old ksuba d'oraisa masa mashka ksuba Torah tano batal. Meaning, it could be that we paskin tano kayim, that if you take a ksuba and you try to give less than the amount of the ksuba, that the tanai is in fact going to be valid because we paskin ksuba maybe is derabana, not ksuba d'oraisa. It's just that bilasa bilas nus because dafka because of that she's losam chadaita. However, the Rambam shita is in the 12th parak of Hilchos Ishus that the halacha is legamri krabi meir. Even when he says Tano Batel, and even if she writes a shover that says it's Kabalti, that it's going to be Tano Batel, but at the end of the day, we certainly paskin that one should have a ksuba, and that it's aser to Lishos Mishto without a ksuba at all. Now, we've pointed out in the past, the Rama writes, yes, that was all before Cherem Drabenu Gershom. Once Cherem Drabenu Gershom came along and said that you're not allowed to be Megarish Shabal Karcha anyway, so then there was no need to have such an iser to stay with the wife without a ksuba, because the whole point of ksuba shlote kala be'enav lotzia, that it shouldn't be so easy to divorce her. Well, it's not going to be kala be'enav lotzia anyway, because it's not up to you lotzia, because once you have cherem d'rabbeinu gershom, it's not up to the person to be motzir. Now, every once in a while, some event happens where there are massive amounts of people that lose their ksuba all at the same time. For example, there were a number of years ago, there were fires in Eretz Yisrael, in a community in Eretz Yisrael, a whole community burnt down. So they, thank God, most people were able to get to safety, but their homes weren't safe. Their ksubas got burnt, and wouldn't you know, it happened on Erev Shabbos. So all these families going to have to split apart for Shabbos, or when Hurricane Sandy happened here, a whole bunch of homes were destroyed and a lot of ksubas were lost. So is that, how pressing is that? So what some people came up with an idea is always have a backup, meaning just make a photocopy of the ksuba, and that way you'll always have a backup of the ksuba, and then you won't have a problem. So that's a major discussion in Poskim, whether that works. And Sefer Shor Metzion Ba'alacha, he's mesupuk whether it's mutter to make a copy of the ksuba just in case the first one gets lost, and to rely on that copy. So he says anyway, because you have the Rama that bizman hazeh you're allowed to live together without a ksuba, so maybe you could be mitzayev that with the possibility that a copy is good enough. Rav Sturmbach writes in Shuvas Van Hagos and in Eretz Yisrael there are a lot of people that are somech on the Rabbanut, because the Rabbanut always keeps a copy of the ksuba on file, so they're somech on the copy that's in the Rabbanut, and even if she loses it, she's somech daita that she's going to have the ksuba and the rabbanut, and the husband's not going to be able to be motzir without a ksuba. But Rav Shurmach says you shouldn't be samech on that, because whenever you have a ksuba that's only a copy, it's going to require a lot of drisha v'chakira and beis din, and maybe that's not good enough to give her smichas das. Meaning, maybe even if in the end of the day she'll be able to collect, but not easily, it's going to be jumping through hoops in order to do so. Maybe that itself is a lack of smichas das, and therefore it's more more appropriate to write the ksuba immediately, to write a new ksuba immediately. But within reason, meaning there are times where it's not doable immediately, and then we rely, and then we have to rely on that Ramah. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to the machlokas between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa that we had on Nun Vavam Beis, whether the husband can make a tenai, bal peh, to be poches midmeh ksuba, to give less than the allotted amount in the ksuba. So we had a machlokas, whether he's allowed to make such a tenai. So Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amr Rav Shim Ben Pazi, so what he said in the name of Rav Shim Ben Pazi, Amr Rav Shim Ben Levi Mishim Bar Kapara, machlokas, the whole machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef is only if it was bitchila, if she was mochelas at the very beginning, aval besof, but if she was only mochelas at the end, l'divrei hakol eina mochelas, then there is no machlokas. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi would say that that she cannot be mochelas because she was already zocha in the entire ksuba, and her saying bal peh that she's mochelas is not going to work unless she actually puts it in writing and she writes a shover that says hiskabalti. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, but Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav Dimi, and he says Bein bazu, machlokas, that whether she's mochel betchila or whether she's mochelas basov, there's going to be this machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Yossi holds that even though she was mochel basov, the mechila balpeh is going to work, that Rabbi Yossi holds mechila works. Even basof. Now, one little thing. We haven't defined what on earth is bitchila and what is basof. What are we talking about? Some Rabbi Avo says that the machlokas of Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yochanan about the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is l'didim farshi l'mined Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explained it to me that anav Rabbi Shimon Levi lo palginan adadi, that I and Rabbi Shimon Levi do not disagree with each other. But my bitchila dekamar Rabbi Shimon Levi, when Rabbi Shimon Levi said bitchila, that the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is only betchila, he means tchilas chuppah at the beginning of the nisuin at the chuppah, and that's where Rabbi Yossi holds that tana ukayim even if it's balpeh umay sof. And what does he mean when he says sof? That Rabbi Shimon Levi says that everyone agrees that once you're at sof, then she cannot be mochelas. That's sof bia. Sof means after the bia, which is the end of the nisuin. So it turns out that what Rabbi Shimon Ben Levi means to say is that from the beginning of the chuppah until the end of the chuppah, that's called tchila. That's where you have machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. But once there's already been a bia, that's what you call sof. Then even Rabbi Yossi is moda that she cannot issue a tenai balpeh to be poches from the ksuba. V'chika amina ana. And when I, Rabbi Yochanan, said bein bazu machlokas, that the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is even basof, I meant something else by sof. Tchilas chupa, v'sof chupa, di tchilas bia. When I said sof, I meant sof chupa, which is before the bia. So therefore, it turns out that both Rabbi Shimon ben Levi and both I, says who was it, Rabbi Avoh, I think, that we would agree that there is no machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi after the bia. After the bia, everyone agrees that she's eina mocheles balpeh, that she cannot be mocheles balpeh. So it turns out that there are three different time frames. There's the time of Knisa L'chuppa, which is the Tchila, both according to Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. There's after the Chuppa, but before the Bia, where according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, that's called Tchila. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's called Sof. And that's the time frame that everyone agrees that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda disagree, that the Machlokas Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda applies, right? Everyone agrees, meaning all the Amorayim agree that the Machlokas Tanayim applies in that intermediate, in that middle time frame. Can she or can she not make a Tanay Bal Peh to be Pochis from the Ksuba? And then there's the Zmanov after the Bia. That's what Rabbi Shimon Levi calls Sof. And everyone, all the Amorayim agree, that all the Tanayim agree, that at that point it's too late to make a Tanay. So the whole Machlokas Amorayim as to what so there is no Machlokas Amorayim as to what the Tanayim say. There is a Machlokas Tanayim. The question is when that Machlokas Tanayim applies, all the Amoraim agree that the Machlokas Tanaim applies in that middle time frame of after the Chuppah, before the Bia. Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Reb Shimon Pazi, he said in the name of Reb Shimon Pazi, Amar Reb Shimon Levi Bar Kapara, he's quoting the same people, that Machlokas, the whole Machlokas Tanaim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is only Lebasov, Aval Betchila, Divrei Kol Mocheles. It's only Lebasov, but Betchila, everyone agrees that she can be Mocheles, and the Tanaim is going to be Kayam. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bein Bazu, Machlokas. And Rabbi Yochanan says that whether she's Mocheles Betchila, whether she's Mocheles Basov, you're going to have Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Avohu says that the Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Rabbi Yochanan, is that there is no Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Rabbi Yochanan. Rather, Lididim, Mefarshin, Minei, Rabbi Yochanan explained to me, Ta'anov, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Lo Palginan Adadi, that I and Rabbi Shimon Levi, who seem to be saying very different things, do not in fact disagree with each other. Ma'ilu Basof, Dom Rabbi Shimon Levi, what was the Basof that Rabbi Shimon Levi was saying, where he said that that only in such a case is there Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? That's Sof Chuppah, that still means before the Chuppah. Umay Tchila, and when Rabbi Shimon Levi says Tchila, that means Tchilas Chuppah, before the Chuppah. And in that time frame, everyone agrees that she could be Mocheles. All the Tanayim agree that she could be Mocheles, because the Nisuin didn't happen yet. V'chika Amina Ana, and when I, Rabbi Yochanan, said, Bein Bazu Machlokas, that the Machlokas is both Betchila and Basof, I meant Tchilas Bia V'sof Bia. But by Tchilas Chuppah, everyone agrees that she could be Mocheles, and the Tanayim is going to be Kayim. So it turns out that both according to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi and according to me, says Rabbi Yochanan, there is no machlokas tanaim except for sof chuppah, which is tchilas bia and sof bia. But by tchilas chuppah, everyone agrees that she's going to be mocheles. So Amar Rav Papa ilav da Amar Rabbi Avohu, had it not been that Rabbi Avohu said the didim mefarshi l'minei Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan explained to him da nov Rabbi Shimon ben Levi lo palginin adadi, that he and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi do not disagree with each other, but Rav Dimi and Ravin disagree within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. So Hava Amina, I would have thought to say the opposite, that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi pligi, that it's more likely to say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi disagree in what situation the Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda applies, but Rav Dimi v'Ravin, who each said a different version of the Machlokas of earlier Amoraim of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, lo pligi, meaning we have three generations over here in play. We have the Tanaim, who definitely argued, Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, and then we had a generation of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, of early Amoraim, and then we had a generation of Rav Dimi and Ravin. So given the choice of either Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi agreeing with each other, and Rav Dimi and Ravin arguing about what Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said, versus Rav Dimi and Ravin agreeing with each other, and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi disagreeing about a svara, so it would have been better to say Hava Amina. I would have thought it would be better to say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Levi are pligi. The earlier generation are arguing, and the latest generation of Rav Dimi and Ravin are lo pligi, that they're not arguing with each other. Myself to come a Ravin, and when Ravin says Sof in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, that only Basof is there a Machlokas Tanaim, that's Sof Chuppah. That's the Sof Chuppah, which is the Tchilas Bia. But Tchila means Tchilas Chuppah, where even Rabbi Yehuda's moda that she could be Mocheles. Umay Tchila to come a Rav Dimi, and when Rav Dimi says in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi Tchila, that it's only in Tchila that you have Machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, that's Tchilas Bia. But Sof Bia, even Rabbi Yossi is going to be moda that she cannot be Mocheles. And Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Levi and holds both B'tchilas Chuppah and B'sof Bia that the Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda applies. So I ask the Gemara, Maika Mashmalan, what's Rav Papa's point over here? Meaning, we know that where the Machlokas occurred. The Machlokas occurred in this last generation. So you're telling me that you would have preferred if they not argue in that generation. You would have preferred if it was an earlier generation that argued. Well, that's very nice, but what's the Chiddush? Why are you telling me what you would have preferred? Rabbi Yavo already said what he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan himself was made, that he agrees with Rabbi Shimon Levi. And Rav Papa is not arguing on that. Rav Papa can't deny that Rabbi Yochanan himself said that he agrees with Rabbi Shimon Levi, so you're not going to change that. So, l'may nafka mina that Rav Papa had a preference that it be a different machlokas than it actually is. So says Mar HaKam Ashulan. No, it's a very important chiddush actually that it's telling me. Rav Papa is telling me a klal to apply in all other places, that whenever you have a machlokas amarayim, about a matter where the svara is nota ta'asra to be matir, like Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Yochanan could be arguing in svara, and then you have a later machlokas amoraim about what the earlier amoraim said, like the machlokas between Rav Dimi and Ravin, and you have the wiggle room to be able to explain either that the early amoraim are arguing in din, they're arguing in svara, and their talmidim who taught what they're saying are not arguing about what their rebbeim held. They both of the talmidim are in agreement. Or you have the other option of saying that the early Amoraim were in full agreement, and they said the same thing. It's only the Ba'im Achareim, it's only the Talmidim, who are arguing about what the earlier Amoraim said. When you have those two options, you'd much rather say that the Machlokas Amoraim was in Svara, was in Din, and not that you have a later generation of Amoraim that are arguing about what an earlier generation of Amoraim said. Because if you can say that they argue about what an earlier generation of Amoraim said, then one of them is, as Rashi says, Mishaker B'dvarav. One of them is not telling the truth. One of them is incorrect. But if you can say that the Achronim do not disagree, but the Rishonim disagree in Svara, since it's not Sheker, then each one is saying his Svara, his Tam. Then you could apply Elu Ve'elu Devarei Elokim Chayim. Rashi expounds on this. Rashi is a famous Rashi over here, actually, in Dibra Maskel HaKam Ashmalan, where Rashi explains that the concept of Elu Ve'elu Devarei Elokim Chayim does not mean that two opposite Metzius can be correct at the same time. It means that there are two opposite perspectives in Svara that could both be correct and both fit within Devarei Elokim Chayim. But once they're arguing on a Metzius of what did or did not somebody say, so then you can't have two opposite Metzius that are actually correct, and therefore we have to assume that one of them is incorrect, and we'd much rather not say that one of them is incorrect. I heard from Rav Simon in Yeshiva in the name of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik that he thought that every single time there's a machlokas in Metzius and Shas, you could turn it into a machlokas in Halacha, right? If there's a machlokas in the Gemara, is it big or is it small? So it's not a machlokas, is it big or is it small? It's a machlokas, what do we consider big and what do we consider small? Meaning they agree in the Metzius of exactly what it is, but does the Halacha consider that big or consider that small? That almost every machlokas in Metzius, you could turn it into a machlokas in Halacha. What's the motivation of doing that? This is the motivation of doing that, because if you say that it's a machlokas in Metzius, then you can just check and somebody's going to be right and somebody's going to be wrong. So Rashi used the term Meshaker B'dvarav. I don't think that he means that. I don't think he means that one of them is lying. I think he means that one of them is saying that which is in fact not true, but not that he's lying, meaning that it was a misunderstanding. The same, that's how machlokas often develops, is that somebody didn't understand the Rebbe properly. So someone sent me an email this morning, why do we assume that one of them is Meshaker B'dvarav? Why not just assume that they both heard from the Rebbeim at different times and that people changed their mind throughout their lives? So why not just, that's a good kasha. So maybe the Gemara somehow knew that both of the later generation, that Rav Dimi and Ravin, were both learning by the same people at the same time. Maybe they knew that they were sitting in Shir at the same time. So if that's the case, then they both had access to them at the same time. But I don't know. I don't know. The question may be better than the answer. So, okay, now we move on to the next Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us that when a person is be'erusin, when you have an arus and his arusa, so there's a, from the time of the erusin until the time of the nisuin, there's an expected time frame in between, and once the time comes where the nisuin is supposed to happen, if one of them pushes off the nisuin, they're considered to be morid, and they write a letter against them that they're morid. So our Mishnah discusses what halachos begin to apply at the time of the nisuin. So nosan lebesul shneimas v'chodesh mishatava habal. So first of all, there's a 12-month time frame from the Erusin until the Nisuin, that they're expected to have the Nisuin, the Farnisas Atzman. She's given 12 months to prepare for the wedding, to prepare whatever clothing she needs, whatever tachshitim she needs to get ready for the wedding. Shem Shenosin Leisha, Kach Nosin Leish. Just like we give the woman time, we also give the man time, lefarnas es atzmo, because he's going to be, she may have to pay for a dress and tachshitim and everything else, he's going to have to pay for the wedding. Meaning me'ikra din, it's the husband that pays for the wedding. As Rav Shechter says often in divorce negotiations, it's helpful to remember that, because sometimes the husband will be demanding a certain amount of money, and you can say, okay, but me'ikra din, you should have paid for the wedding, and the kala's father paid for half or more of the wedding, so you got to pay her back, you know, for that. So that could help, you know, figure out, you know, close the gap sometimes in the negotiations. But anyway, so do we give the man the farnes hasatzmo to pay for the wedding? Ula almana, and if a girl is an almana, she's out of basula shloshim yom. Then it's 30 days; it's not 12 months. Now he gives man v'lo nisu if the time came for the nisuin and they didn't get married because the husband was being ma'akiv, he was delaying. So ochlos mishalosh, she gets to be supported from his nechasim. The chum already mechayiv him like a regular husband in giving mazonos to his wife, va'ochlos petruma, and if he's a kohen, she can eat truma from the day that that they should have been married. How could she do that? They're not married yet, because midah oraisa, already from erusin, she'd be allowed to eat truma. It's only a din midrabanan that she's not allowed to eat truma from erusin. So the rabbanan say, okay, so by the time she should have been married, she's allowed to eat truma. So this is machlokas tanoim, how much a truma the kohen is allowed to give to his arusa when it's higiyas man. Rabbi Tafra nomer nosna hakol truma. He can give all of the support, all of the food could be truma. Now, practically, she's not going to be able to eat truma all the time, because there is a halacha that it's nisa darais chiv misa to eat truma betuma, and a woman who becomes a nida typically will be tame for X amount of days out of the month, so she's going to be tame at certain points, but nevertheless the husband is allowed to give it all as truma. Rabbi Kiva says no, can't give her all truma. Mechza chulin, mechza truma. You do half-half. Half truma, half chulin. And the Yerushalmi explains that the shear of chulin that he has to give her is mechza, because shanashim mitzuyos letamei taros. That very often women are tamei and they'll be metamei taros. Still a little bit difficult to understand why it would be mechza, meaning certainly from a tanoim perspective. The Gemara tells us, the Chumash tells us, that mikra adin, a woman becomes a nida, she's tamei for 7 days. 7 days on a typical month, that's not mechza. That's less than a quarter. That's less than 25%. Yeah, later on, Hiskin Rebbe Basados, Rebbe made a takana that we were no longer able to tell the difference between Yimei Nida and Yimei Ziva. So Rebbe made a takana that if a woman bleeds one day, you need that day plus six more days. If she bleeds 2 days, so you need those 2 days plus six more days. And if she bleeds 3 days, then you need Shiva Nakim. So let's assume most women, when they get their periods, will bleed 3 days. So she'll require Shiva Nakim as well. Even then, it's 10 days, it's 11 days. So most women will bleed for 5 days. Okay, so it's 12 days that you need Shiva Nakim. Then Rabbi Zeira came along, and in the times of the Amorayim, and Rabbi Zeira said, I feel a rose, Tipas Tam Chardol, Yoshua Shiva Nakim. That even if she sees the Tipas Tam Chardol, she's going to require Shiva Nakim. Still, you don't get to 50%, but then you're getting a lot closer, right? Once you're saying that she's always going to need Shiva Nakim. People don't realize Rabbi Zeira didn't really, it wasn't such a huge chumrah, because what Rabbi was already Mesakein pretty much required just about that anyway. Meaning, when a woman got her regular period, so she probably bled for 3 days anyway. So if she's bleeding for 3 days, then even from a Rebbe perspective, it's going to require Shiva Nakim. And if she bled for less than 3 days, if she bleeds for only 1 day, Rebbe was already requiring 6 days. So all Rabbi Zeira added was an extra day, meaning it was only one more day that Rabbi Zeira actually required. So Rabbi Zeira, the Amr Rabbi Zeira, the Benos Shalachmir Latzman, wasn't you know, such a huge change. But be that as it may, it's a little difficult to understand the mechza over here. But anyway, that's the machlokas tanaim. Can you give her entirely truma, or does it have to be mechza, or can it even be mechza, or does he have to provide a certain amount of chulin so that she could eat, be a meituma, and have it as mechza mechza? So now the Mishnah discusses a woman who's mu'ureses and the husband dies, and now she has a yavam. So does she get to eat the yavam's truma if he's a kohen? So a yavam Eino machle b'truma. Yavam does not feed his yavam a truma. So if the husband dies within that 12-month time period where she's preparing for the wedding, sa'asa shish chadash mifnei abal. If for 6 months the husband was still alive, and then shish chadash mifnei yavam, and then for the next 6 months the yavam was around, va'afilu kulan mifnei abal chaser yom echad mifnei yavam. Even if for 11 months and 29 days she was the husband was alive, and he died on the last day before the wedding, and that last day she was connected to the yavam, o kulan b'fnei yavam chaser yom echad b'fnei abal, or maybe only the first day of the year the husband was still alive and he dropped dead right after the erusin, and then the whole rest of the year she was b'fnei yavam, eino achelus b'truma. If the yavam's a kohen, she does not eat truma. Rashi writes that even if she was b'chaye baila the full shtei masor chodesh, she doesn't eat truma, because even if she eats mishal baila while he's alive, when he dies it's paka kinyano. When he dies, that kinyan is gone, and therefore she doesn't eat truma anymore. Tosfos and other Rishonim disagree, because the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara was careful to say, and yom echad b'fnei ayavim. It sounds like that the husband didn't make it the full 12 months. But had the husband made it the full 12 months, and she's already zocha in the truma, so then the ayavim would be able to be machil her the truma as well, because he's omeid b'makom abal. So anyway, zo Mishnah Rishonah. That was the Mishnah Rishonah. But Beis Shalach Rein Amru, a later Beis came along and said, ein isha chalz b'truma, ashe tikan yisluchaba. None of this. A woman's not allowed to eat truma. I don't care how many months have passed. A woman's not allowed to eat truma until she goes into the chuppah. So minani mili. So first the Gemara says, where do we get the 12 months idea from? Where does that come from? So Amrav Chisda Damakra, because the pasuk says when Rivka was getting married, that Eliezer Eved Avram wanted to take her to Eretz Yisrael for Yitzchak. Vayomer Achia V'ima Teishev Hanari Itanu Yamim O Asar. That they that her brother and her mother said, let her stay with us. Yamim O Asar. My yamim. What does yamim mean? I lema trei yomi. If it means 2 days, mishtai yinishachi. Is that the way people talk? That Amrle, they say to Eliezer, let her stay with us. Yamim, which means trei yomi. Amrlehu, Eliezer says, lo, no, I don't want to wait 2 days. I want to go sooner. So Amrle, so then they say, okay, asar yomi. You know, O Asar. We'll do 10 days instead. That's not negotiating in good faith, right? You don't go in the opposite direction in the negotiation. Elamai yamim shana. So it must be yamim means a year. Dechsev yamim tiagu laso. Because the pasuk talks about a house in a city that's mukefas choma, where you want to be put to the house, and it says yamim tiagu gulaso. And over there it means that you could redeem the house up until 1 year after the purchase, and after that it belongs to whoever bought it forever, and you're never going to be able to be goel that house. Over here also, what happened in this conversation is that they wanted her to stay yamim, meaning a full year before going back. Eliezer said, no way. They said, okay, asar, how about 10 months? And from there we see that the appropriate amount of time to give to a basula is 12 months, right? That's always the question. Can you really derive halachos from the marriage negotiations that were done by the likes of Lavan and Besuel? And right, that's how we learn Shema Brachos and other halachos. So most understand this is an asmachta, and this is not a real din. It's not something that we would, you know, the minani mili is from where do we have an asmachta for this idea? Ve'ema chodesh, maybe yamim means a month. Tichsiv ad chodesh yamim, because the pasuk says by that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the mesonim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu given basar ad chodesh yamim. So over there yamim. So maybe over here also yamim means chodesh. So Amri done in yamim stam mi yamim stam. Vein done in yamim stam mi yamim shnem ben chodesh. If the word yamim appears in two different contexts, by the Batei Arichoma it just says yamim, and that means a full year. And it appears by the mesonim, but it says chodesh yamim. So we see from there that the word yamim stam means a full year. Only when it's qualified with the word chodesh does it mean less than a full year. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Tana Katana Bein Aviyah Yicholun La'akev. When the girl is still a Katana, both she and her father could delay the marriage even more than 12 months until she becomes a gedola. That's not considered moredas, meaning the assumption of our Mishnah is at a certain point she's moredas by not being willing to get married. But for a katana, it's not considered moredas. So bishlami ihi matzi ma'akva. I understand why she could be ma'akev, because it's no geater. She doesn't want to get married when she's 11 years old. Ela aviha ihi nichala. But as far as the father of the katana, if she's perfectly happy getting married, already when she's still a katana, avia may nafkalem. You know, what does it matter to the father? What taina does the father have? Why can he be ma'akev? Says the Gemara, savar, because the father can taina that hashtalo yada. She's still a katana. She doesn't know what's good for her yet. And even if she's saying she wants to get married, lemachar mimrda. She's not. She doesn't know what marriage is. Tomorrow she's going to have tainas and she's not going to be happy. Venafka, and then she's going to leave. She's going to run away from him. Vasi venafka lavai, and she's going to be right back in my house. And now I'm going to have to find her a shidduch, and she's already divorced, and that's going to be much harder. So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Levi ain poskin ala katana la siya kshi katana. We are not mechayev a katana to get married when she is a katana, because that ala poskin ala katana la siya kshi gedola. But when she's a katana, we could already set up that the marriage to take place when she is a gedola. So pshita, isn't that obvious that you could be posik to let her get married when she's a gedola? What would be the problem with that? So ma'od detema lechushdulma ma'ela pachta, that maybe that is going to cause her to become nervous. Mehashta already while she's a katana v'cholsha, and she's going to be weakened by her nervousness. So kamashmalan, they don't have to worry about that. That adrabah, maybe she'll have yishuvadas, that she already has her chasen picked out, and that she knows when she's a gedola that she knows who she's gonna marry. So Amrav Huna Bagra Yom Echad. If a Nara became a Bogeres and then Veniskadsha and then she had Kiddushin, Nosla Shoshim Yom Kalmana. She doesn't get a Bogeres, doesn't get the 12 months. She only gets 30 days to prepare a Tachshitin, just like an Almana. So Meisve, we ask from that which we said in the Brisa, Bagra Harehi Kitavua. A Bogeres is like an Arusa that the husband told her to get ready to get married, and he doesn't have to be Tovea Beferish. So my love kitvua de basula, doesn't that mean like an arusa that the husband was tovea that she was tovea the baal to marry her, where we give 12 months? So Bagaris also gets 12 months, even though there was no tvias. So that's a kasha rafun who said that she only gets 30 days. Lo kitvua dalmana. We just said kitvua. We didn't say like who. So maybe it means like an almana that it's 30 days. So tashmas as well. We'll bring a raya from the Mishnah. If a Bogeres waited 12 months and still isn't married, Reb Lazar says that even though a husband cannot be made for Nidre Arusaso without the father's help, a husband when it's only in Arusa can't do a Farsan Darm yet, since after 12 months he's the one that's on the hook to support her, so he alone could be made for her Nidarim. So you see from there that a Bogeres after 12 months he has to support her, so she gets 12 months. So Ema, no, the Gemara answers, Bogeres Sheshasa Shnemasa Chodesh Rav Lazar Omer Hol Baal L'Chayim Sa Yafer. The Girsa is not that the 12 months are going on the case of Bogeres, but it's a different situation. It's saying a Nara that waits 12 months and Bogeres, it's not talking about 12 months. It's two different cases. It's Bogeres and v'shashas hashem asachodesh. They're two different cases. Either way, in either situation, the husband could be made for an adarb. So Tashma is trying to bring another raya. Hamari says abasula bein shetava abal v'hima akeves. Whether the husband wants to get married and she's pushing it off, ubein shetava he ubal ma'akev. Whether she wants to get married, he's pushing it off. Nos hashem asachodesh. We get 12 months. To push off the wedding for 12 months. Mishas tviya, avalo mishas erisin. That the clock starts in 12 months from the time that one of them says, I want the marriage to happen, not from the erisin. Ubagra areyu ketavua. And if she became a bogeres, then it says if she was there was already a tviya for marriage. So ketzad bagra yomechad niskadcha nosa shemas chodesh ularusa shloshim yom. So it says beferish that if she's bagra yomechad and then she had kiddushin, she gets 12 months, and an arusa that sometimes arusa only gets shloshim yom. So it says Gemara, you see tiyufta dravuna tiyufta, that you see that clearly it's a tiyufta and ravuna that even a bogeres gets shemas chodesh and not only shloshim yom. But what was that last line? Maila ula arusa. What was it talking about when it said and an arusa gets 30 days? We just said that even a bogeres arusa gets 12 months. Amra papach kamar bogeres sha'avru aleha before she was niskatcha, 12 chodesh bebagrus, she's already been a bogeres for a full year, and then viniskatcha, then also 30 yom kalmana. So we say that a bogeres only gets 12 months. That's only in the first year of bagrus, but after that, she has the same din as an almana. She only gets 30 days. He gives man v'lo nisu. We then said that if the time came and they didn't get married, she could eat truma. So if the husband's a kohen, so amru l'dvar Torah arusa basisol l'chelz b'truma. Really, even as an arusa, she's allowed to eat truma. Shenemar v'kohen ki yikna nefesh kinyan kaspo, because we said that when it's kinyan kaspo, hu yochal bo v'hainami kinyan kaspo hu, and the wife is the kinyan kaspo, the kohen from the time of erusin. Matam amru eino chelz. So why midrabanan did we say she shouldn't eat truma? Sheimiyims gula kos bebeis avia v'tishkalachi olachosa. If you give her truma and she's still living in her parents' house, she may share it with the people in her parents' house. So then why does that change the 12 months if they haven't had Nisuin yet? She's still living in the parents' house. Shouldn't we have the same concern? So says Mar Hasam Duchta Miyachida. Once it's a Giyazman, since the husband has to support her, Miyachid is a special place for her in order that she shouldn't feed the Mizonos to her family. Elamayata, if that's the case, the Tcham made a Gzeira on an Arusa Nati Truma, Lakit Kohen Li Yisrael, a Kohen who's hired to pick grain for a Yisrael, lo lechel b'truma, shenali truma dilma asu lemechel badei, because he's working, he's living in Yisrael's house, so he's the house servant of a Yisrael. She shouldn't be allowed to eat truma because he might feed it to the Yisrael. No, hashem etetu safelemi didei achli. No, he's hired by the Yisrael, so he's eating the Yisrael's food. So there's very little chance that he's going to be providing food to the to the boss. So that's one explanation of why she doesn't of why they were gozer that an arusa does not eat truma. But tomorrow we'll pick up with the second shita as to why it is that an arusa does not eat truma. Okay, have a good day, everyone.